From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 30th day of June, 2011, USDA Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Well, it's true. The cure for high prices is apparently high prices. The acreage and grain stocks reports were bearish this morning. We'll talk about those numbers in a moment with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Hear Daryl Good's take on the figures and how the same reports last year started the rally and this year may very well have ended it. Matt Bennett and Pete Levitt will be here too. Matt, of course, is with TGM. He's at the Grain Elevator in Windsor. Pete is an agricultural meteorologist in Massachusetts. And all together, they'll make up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, June the 30th, futures finished lower. Nearby July contract in the wheat at $5.84 3/4, 56.5 cents lower today. September at $6.14 1/4, down 60. And next year's July at $7.27, 51 cents lower. July corn futures from Chicago, $6.29, down 69 cents. September at $6.48, down the limit. That's 30 lower. December futures at $6.20 1/2, down the 30 cent limit. And the March contract at $6.32 2/3, down 30 cents. Next year's December futures in the corn pit, $5.87, down the 30 cent limit. July soybeans at $13.06 1/4, 28 cents lower. The August futures, $12.99 1/2, down 28. September, $12.95 1/2, down 28. November beans at $12.94, down 29 cents for the day. January futures, $13.04 1/4, down 28 1/2. And next year's November, the 2012 contract at $12.76 1/4, down 31 3/4. July bean meal at $332.20, down $5.70. July soybean oil at $55.04, down 79 cents on the afternoon. In the June live cattle futures, $112.75 was the settlement price, up $1.02 1/2, but the August contract at $110.87 1/2 was down 70 cents for the day. August feeder cattle at $138.07 1/2, up 30 cents. September at $138.92 1/2, up 35. And July lean hogs today at $94.40, finished 82.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online anytime you'd like. Our website address is willag.org. USDA did release a couple of reports this morning. We'll go through those numbers now for you. The planted acreage report for corn shows for all purposes in this year an estimated 92.3 million acres. That's 92.3 million acres of corn have been planted, 5% higher than last year. That's the second highest planted acreage in the United States since 1944, behind only the 93.5 million acres planted in 2007. Growers are expected to harvest 84.9 million acres for grain. That's up 4% from last year for the corn. Soybean planted acreage for 2011 now estimated at 75.2 million acres, down 3% from last year. Area for harvest at 74.3 million acres. That's also down 3%. A record high planted acreage is estimated in New York and North Dakota for the soybeans. The grain stocks figures for the third quarter show that corn stocks are down 15% year over year. Soybean stocks up 8%, and wheat stocks are down 12%. Corn stocks in all positions as of June the 1st totaled 3.67 billion bushels. That's down 15% from June the 1st, but quite a bit larger than most in the trade had expected. Soybeans stored in all positions June the 1st totaled 619 million bushels, up 8% from last year. Let's take a quick look at what the weather forecast says for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 87 degrees. Winds out of the south at about 11 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 17. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 68. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 94. Friday night, clear, a low of 73. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms for the area on Saturday. It'll be mostly sunny, a high near 91. Saturday night, cloudy, a low of 71. And Sunday, mostly sunny, a high 86. On the 4th of July, Independence Day for Monday, mostly sunny, the high near 87.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Thursday afternoon, USDA report day. On the phone line with us here at the Closing Market Report to take a look at those numbers and what happened in Chicago as a consequence, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Hi, Dan. Do you have a short phrase for us today about the marketplace?
Well, I think it's typical of reports that there's always going to be some surprises in it. This one here happened to be the surprise on the bearish side. And I think probably the initial blush when you look at the corn number, maybe USDA's intended March intentions number was probably too low. And that's maybe one of the reasons why this number came out pretty close to what they were calling for in March. We lost acres from a higher number, and that is, I think, what basically gave the trade the big shocker.
So USDA now puts the corn acreage at 92.3 million acres. When you start looking at the numbers year over year, there are a lot of acres, and these showed up actually in March, but just thinking about, there are an awful lot of acres in Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota year over year, something like nearly 2 million, I think. It's a big number. Do you think they're all there?
Yes.
And do you think the Ohio farmers got their acreage planted too?
Well, they could have got, keep in mind that I think USDA was underestimating their intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So Ohio farmers probably didn't get all the corn that they intended to plant, but USDA was low on the intentions. Are you following me?
I am indeed.
Okay. So, yes, Ohio farmers didn't get all the corn that they intended to plant, but they could very well have gotten what USDA said they got planted. I think Ohio probably should be looked at again. But the numbers out west, I think, are dead on. Nebraska's up big, South Dakota's up big, Iowa was up big. That is all pretty well what we were hearing, that, you know, when farmers were able to plant in those areas, they planted. And so that is not surprising to see those big numbers out west. And then, of course, the eastern Corn Belt, Illinois actually came in 100,000 acres less. I don't think that is totally surprising because we lost a lot of acres in that lower third of Illinois. And it looks like Indiana ended up about unchanged. So I can't totally disagree with the planted number. I think, though, we may see harvested number tinkered with as we go down the road. But for the most part, that's not necessarily a big deal. If it becomes a big deal, it'll probably show up maybe on the October report.
Can we talk about a number that's not actually in this report, the 158.7 national yield? That is the last report from the USDA, and that number is well off the trend yield based on the lateness of the planting of the crop. Is this crop in the ground going to be better than that at this point, do you think?
My guess is it will, because I think what happened, if you kind of look at it, especially since the soybean acres came in well under what the trade was looking at, is that all the high ground, all the good ground, got planted to corn. That was the first thing farmers wanted to do, was to plant as many acres of corn they could, and it went on all the good ground. The wet ground was delayed for soybeans, and then not all of the soybeans got planted. So I think if you look at it from that perspective, USDA is probably too low on their yield potential. But, you know, July weather is still going to be important. We do have corn that's going to start tasseling next week in some areas of the Corn Belt, but that's going to continue all the way into mid-August. So we still have you know, the weather to go through here before you can put a big number on this crop. But I do think the trade feels a whole lot more comfortable on production prospects today than what they did here maybe 3-4 weeks ago. Because the crop has come on strong over the past 10 days in the areas that got decent plantings. And at the moment, anyway, there's no threatening weather forecast out there.
So what are you using at this point for a carryout for the next crop year, for the time we get to the fall of 2012?
I haven't even had a chance. But I think, you know, unless the yield goes through the roof, we are still basically going to have another tight balance sheet as we look forward.
Meaning under a billion bushels or over 900 million?
Well, in that deal. I think, you know, I know if you've got old crop corn around or if you were long today and or you didn't get much new crop corn sold, you probably feel pretty well down and out. But in the long run, probably this is what the market needed in here, because it now tells us that the ethanol plants can continue to grind 24/7, that we're not going to really run out of corn like the trade was worried about. Prices have come off their highs, so that's taken a lot of pressure off of the end user. There's going to be no demand destruction now over the next 3 months. So that keeps a nice demand base in place as we move into the 2011-12 crop year. And I think, you know, depending upon how things all shape out, we've got a lot of bridges to cross yet before we get to harvest. I don't think the balance sheets are all going to be that bearish, and I think we're going to have another tight situation as we go down the road, and pricing opportunities are going to continue to be there, but probably people will have to make some downward adjustments on their upward price projections or opportunities if weather is favorable here over the next 60 days.
Thanks so much for your time, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He is in Decatur, Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon, USDA June Acreage Report Day, along with the quarterly grain stocks. In studio with us, Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. Daryl, thanks for taking the time. USDA this morning, as has become, well, just the norm as opposed to not, giving the market a set of numbers that really surprised the market today.
No question about it, Todd. Both the stocks number, the June 1 estimate of corn inventory, and the planted acreage estimates caught the market really by surprise in a very bearish way, I think. The June 1 stocks number estimated at 3.67 billion bushels. That's 350 million bushels or so more than the average trade guess. And implies that we have slowed our consumption of corn for feed and residual use, much like last year when we got a surprisingly small June 1 stocks number. There are some questions that this estimate raises that now we'll have to put off till the September report to reconcile those again like last year. But on the surface, we've got a lot more corn on hand than the market anticipated, and so that suggests that year-ending stocks will also be larger than what has been projected. And then you combine that with the planted acres number, 92.3 million. That's about 1.5 million more than the average trade guess, and surprisingly, 100,000 acres more than indicated in the March planting intentions report. And again, even with some lost acres to flooding, so that harvested acres for grain will be a little smaller percentage of planted acres than it normally is, 84.9 million projected to be harvested. That now projects to a fairly large crop next year, if the yield is anywhere close to the 158.7 that USDA published in its WASDE report earlier this month. So I think the market is looking at a fundamental shift in the corn market from tight supplies and prospects for one more year of very tight supplies now to a lot more breathing room on the supply side.
This is the second largest corn crop planted on record, and the first one is not very long ago in 2007.
Yes, 2007. I think if you go back to the 40s, you might find some slightly bigger acreage, but in the modern history, 2007 was record corn acres, and 2011 looks to be second largest to that. So producers do respond to market signals, and you know, there was a lot of talk that the higher corn prices relative to soybeans and all other crops would really motivate producers to plant as much corn as they could. And what we found in this report is those areas that planted early in a more timely fashion, parts of Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, planted considerably more corn than indicated in the March intention, so that even those areas that were late planted lost some corn acres, Ohio, the Dakotas, parts of Indiana and Illinois. The fact that the Western Corn Belt was able to get in early and plant a lot of corn really compensated for those losses.
Producers now faced with an entirely different situation than they were just hours ago. They're faced with a large crop, potentially, and a price that will slide. How far is the question, and what should they do, if anything, at this time?
Well, yeah, I think this, as I said, is a fundamental shift in the picture for corn. And assuming that the growing season continues with kind of normal progress, that we don't have any widespread severe threatening weather, and so that the market starts thinking that we're maybe looking at 160 bushel yield on corn, I think we're going to see a gradual decline in corn right into harvest. Now, obviously, that could get interrupted with some weather problems, but unless that happens, you would have to say that we're on a kind of a downward trajectory right into the harvest period. Very difficult to anticipate how low that could go, but recognize that we're still probably $3 higher in the corn market, in the spot corn market, than we were a year ago. So that it does suggest that there is considerable downside risk in corn. And even though we're seeing a substantial sell-off immediately following the report, there may still be some opportunity to add to sales.
I'm going to grasp at a straw just a bit at this point, because if we go back to 2007, about the time we were coming into harvest, it appeared there was just a wall of corn that would be harvested. And truly there was. But the outside forces said, don't care. And it started to rally at that point in the fall.
Yeah, I think the difference in 2007 and then into 2008 is we were on an upward movement in terms of consumption of corn. The ethanol industry was still expanding rapidly in terms of its consumption of corn. We just don't have that situation now. I think consumption basically has plateaued for our all of our domestic markets and perhaps exports as well. So, I mean, there's still, we don't want to get too bearish and say that prices are just going to go down forever. But I think fundamentally the demand side looks very much different now than it did 4 years ago as well.
U.S. EPA's opening the way for 15% blends doesn't change that very much at this point?
It does not. I mean, what the 15% blend would do, it would accommodate current policy in terms of mandated levels of biofuels production. If we really carry through with eliminating the tax incentive, then we're going to be arguing that we may be looking at ethanol production actually coming down because we're now producing above the mandated level. And if the tax incentive goes away and fuel prices come down a bit, then we might see blenders actually drop back to just blending the mandated level of biofuels in the year ahead. That's a lot of ifs there, but even if they don't, we're saying our rate of increase in ethanol production has slowed considerably, and we're not going to see the kind of the growth spurt that we've seen in the past 3 years.
Finally, can you take a look, and you have to calculate these, but based on the WASD numbers and then the release this morning, what does year-ending stocks for the next marketing year look like?
Well, I think, you know, rather than being sub 700 million bushels, now you're looking at something potentially close to 900 million bushels by September 1, 2012.
Different story for soybeans in the report this morning.
A bit of a different story. June 1 stocks a bit higher than expected, close to 30 million bushels. Again, that's not a huge difference, but larger. But on the other hand, the planted acres number at 75.2 million came in well below expectations for soybeans, and suggest if we use kind of a trend yield on soybeans, suggest that the crop could come in considerably below what the USDA has projected as consumption for the upcoming marketing year. So it says unless we have really quite good yields on soybeans, we may be into a bit of a rationing situation on the soybean crop next year, like we thought we were on corn this past year. So I think stocks are a little higher. Maybe year-ending stocks will be a little higher than we have been projecting. But now the new crop looks to be considerably smaller than what we had been thinking before.
Finally, if we put all the things together, and I'll go back to the corn market, it appears that there will be more than enough corn or plenty of corn. I don't know what we call plenty of supply at this point. Demand destruction maybe did not take place at that $8 level, but slowed down, and this will give it an opportunity to reconcile and continue to have demand be at a good space for corn?
No, I think corn consumption will stay record large as we move through another marketing year. Livestock prices are such that some relief on the feed price side now will mean that we will not liquidate livestock numbers. We'll keep that demand base very strong. Again, through the end of the year, as long as we have the VTEC on ethanol and as long as crude oil prices are above $90 a barrel, we're going to continue to produce ethanol at the current or slightly higher level. Exports are already at a fairly low level. 1.9 billion is kind of where we're using exports on a yearly basis, so we can maintain that. So our consumption base is big and very solid, but it's probably not going to grow a lot during the year ahead. So if we do have a larger crop than we thought, that does allow us to begin modestly this stock rebuilding that we think we need over the next 2 or 3 years. I don't think anybody is really comfortable living from year to year with stocks at 700-800 million bushels. I think the industry as a whole would be more comfortable if we pushed those back up to 1.5 billion, and yes, slightly lower prices, but a lot less risk for everybody in the industry.
Daryl, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. You can read his comments on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, or you can listen to him on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Matt Bennett from TGM.
It's National Ice Cream Soda Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1831, the first U.S. patent for a platform scale was issued to the Fairbanks Brothers of St. Johnsbury, Vermont. In 1886, the U.S. Division of Forestry was established by an act of Congress. The act also opened up timberland for legitimate uses and established the principles by which federally owned forest land would be reserved for public use. In 1905, the U.S. Division of Forestry moved from the Department of the Interior to USDA. In 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act and the Meat Inspection Act were passed by Congress. In 1985, James A. Dewar died. He is the creator of the golden sponge cake with a creamy filling. better known as the Twinkie. By the way, Twinkies originally contained banana cream filling, but was replaced with vanilla cream filling during a banana shortage during World War II. And in 1996, Dr. Edward Anton Asselberg is believed to have died. He developed the process for making instant mashed potato flakes, the patent that is still used worldwide today. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You know, Illinois Public Media is funded in part by you, and we're wrapping up our year in, hoping to have everything in the bank that we need by June the 30th. That's today. If you can go now and pledge your financial support on our website at willpledge.org, we would certainly appreciate it. It's a Thursday afternoon, USDA Report Day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market after this morning's report, Matt Bennett of TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm doing very well. What have farmers had to say about the USDA?
Basically, they're asking, really? You know, this is what we're dealing with, and I don't know. I think most guys are just, you know, we're a little shell-shocked this morning. Me, personally, the first thing I saw was the stocks number, and I knew that things were going to go downhill. Whenever I saw that, I thought, man, the acreage number will have to be awfully bullish, but that certainly wasn't the case.
So where to from here?
Well, you know, right now I'm looking at, you know, I'm just looking at this report, and I'm looking at where the extra acres came from. And I'm asking myself, you know, especially whenever we come out later on in the day and we say we're going to go ahead and have a resurvey again. That's interesting. You know, I think most people look at North Dakota and they see that they had 250,000 more acres of corn than last year. And given their current situation, they're wondering, you know, what's the harvested acreage going to end up being, let alone what did they get planted? So, you know, I don't think this is a end of the line by any means. I think there's a lot of questions that are still left unanswered, but obviously the trade felt very strongly that this was about as bearish a report as you could see, you know, with the nearby month, you know, running down over 80 cents one time.
I didn't look, and I don't know whether you have. What was the synthetic on December, do you know?
Well, the synthetic close on December was 583. You know, so we ran, we ran 67 cents off of last night's trade.
Wow.
Whenever you factor in the synthetics, it's just an enormous move. And, you know, pretty tough to be buying stuff right now whenever you're trading synthetics like this. And, you know, certainly there was a few guys that were asking questions. I didn't have a whole lot of interest in anybody selling anything at the synthetic level, so.
Is that what you were offering to them?
Well, that's pretty well what we have to kind of go on. You know, we try to figure out something. I don't want to tell them just flat out we can't buy anything. We try to put something together for them so we follow the synthetic markets as close as we can, because if we're going to go to the commercial or processors, they're basically going to do that to us. So it's kind of what we have to go off of.
A little different story for soybeans. The numbers, well, in Chicago didn't reflect it. The numbers were a bit better out of USDA.
Well, certainly. You know, whenever you look at beans, you know, with the acreage, obviously, that was a nice bullish surprise as far as the stocks went. You know, it was a little bit bearish, but I don't think it was overwhelmingly bearish. And I think, you know, beans would have had to have an overwhelmingly bullish report to be able to overcome what corn was doing as far as dragging it lower today.
Well, where do we go from here? I've asked this once, but you're the one who has to set numbers for the fall deliveries. So what kind of pricing do you have for the day?
Well, for today, right now, if you go ahead and factor all the synthetics in, you know, we're at 556, which would be, as I said, 67 cents off our bid from last night. So, you know, 556 basically would factor in what the synthetic close was, you know, and then I guess our cash price would be 632, which is just, you know, taking the full brunt of the July off of there. And as far as beans go, we'd be cash 1307 to fall 1260.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Todd. You have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Matt.
Yep,
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's at the Windsor Grain Elevator and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this USDA Report Day. If you'd like to hear it all again, you can do that at our website. The address is willag.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.